see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers now playing only in theaters. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Just watch me love myself. That's all I want. Got what I want. That's all I want. I'm not sorry.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
And this is Love to See It, an obsessively detailed recap podcast about The Bachelor and other pop culture that makes us laugh, cry, and curse the patriarchy.
We can't live with these shows and we can't live without them, but we can break down every juicy moment and unpack all the weird messages these shows send us about love, sex, and dating.
F-boy?
F-high.
Yes, we're here with a bonus episode of Love to See It with Emma and Claire. And of course, it's about F-Boy Island.
It's the HBO Max reality show that sounds like a 30 Rock subplot that culminates in Jack Donaghy winning Sweeps Week, but it's actually real.
It's so real. And thank F for that. You know, we had to watch, we had to discuss. And today, we're recapping the first three episodes of the season, which just dropped this week. We're so excited.
We obviously had to enlist some help in sorting out the bad boys from the good guys. And we are joined today by the hilarious hosts of Watch What Crappens, Ben Mandelker and Ronnie Karam. Thanks so much for joining us, guys.
Hey.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you, guys. It's so cool to be here.
Let's start by laying out the premise of this show. We have three women who are ostensibly there to find love by sorting out the F-boys from the nice guys. There are 12 of each for 24 total dudes. And I guess they just have to ask the guy. Like, they just ask the guys, like, are you an F-boy? And the guys are like, yes, I am. Like, they're very clearly categorized. And I don't know, what did you guys think about this structure?
Well, first, I'm very confused as to why on HBO they cannot say fuck. I thought this was
cable. I think maybe it's for marketing. Maybe they knew they'd have some marketing challenges. Yeah. Like, they might not get a write-up in the New York Times if it was just called a Fuckboy Island.
Okay, fine.
Imagine the New York Times practical. Would be like, the show, an expletive that cannot be mentioned in this paper, boy. Like, they would find the most ludicrous way to write around it.
Well, first of all, I know lots of fuckboys, okay? Love them, love their work. I think they actually contribute a lot to our society, my society at least. But, you know, no fuckboy says he's a fuckboy. And then the ones that do say they're a fuck or that they're not a fuckboy, they are fuckboys. I'm so sorry. You guys are not working out to this extreme for your health. I'm not going to believe it. I'm not believing that you're doing this for your knee health. You're doing it so your penis can get a workout. So that's the basic premise. They're all fuckboys.
Yeah, I think that there's a fundamental flaw. I agree completely with Ronnie. There's a fundamental flaw in this show, which is that no fuckboy will ever acknowledge, probably doesn't even know or can admit to himself that he's a fuckboy. That's why I'm a student of Love Island, because Love Island and Love Island UK especially, it's kind of the same thing, which is which of these guys is going to be a fuckboy, because most of them will be. And you watch them say all the right things and convince themselves they're not fuckboys. And guess what? They turn out to be fuckboys, and it really gets the heart of the issue in a very special and British way.
That was Ben's Love Island propaganda that he's trying to spread all over the world.
Look, okay, I've tried. It's too much content. Too much appreciate content. Your promo, but we're here to talk about the show at hand, Ben.
I mean, F-Boy Island really is like making explicit the fundamental question of all of these dating reality shows. Who is here for the right reasons? And they have to like gamify that by pre-designating the right reasons and wrong reasons, guys, and then turning it into a little treasure hunt.
Yeah.
And it's like, is that really how people work? I'm skeptical of that.
Also, if you want to know if someone's a fuckboy, you check their phone, okay? It's very easy. Do I have to train everybody how to do this? You don't ask them questions. And then you're asking a bunch of stupid people questions, and they think they're going to really get to know somebody because they're like, what do you like to do? Work out? Me too. Oh my God, he can't be a fuckboy, can he?
I sort of enjoy the false lines being drawn, although I wish that they had not used the nice guy terminology because I feel like they missed the entire extended internet discourse in like 2012, where we learned that if you say you're a nice guy, you're like really terrible.
You're like an incel who's only getting laid. Yeah, you know, like you're some men's rights activist. Totally.
Oh my God, what if they had to weed out the MRAs?
That's actually a great idea for a TV show.
Because they call themselves nice guys, but that one of the first guys that gets kicked off, you can't tell me that that guy is not like, at least, at the very least, he doesn't pinch your arm a little too tight when you say something at a party. You know, he looks like he looks abusive.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go with emotionally abusive because I can't get sued for that. But he's the very least emotionally abusive.
Can't wait to hear who this is about.
Yeah, and also, by the way, like, I feel like we've learned a lot about fuckboys from Bravo, because that's our bread and butter, is that we watch shows like Summer House, Vanderpump Rules, and others, where there's just, like, fuckboys on display all the time. The number one thing they do is they talk about how they are, like, nice guys, right? Like, that's their big lure. Like Carl from Summer House, like, you know, I'm just a nice guy. I love my mom. Like, that's the number one thing. So I actually don't think that's a proper dichotomy, fuckboy versus nice guy, right? It should be just, like, fuckboy versus monogamous, maybe. I don't know what it would be, but or someone who's into commitment. I don't know what the right term is, but nice boy is not it.
Any woman who has dated straight men knows that these categories are really fluid. There is not a binary when it comes to fuckboy and nice guy. But for the purposes of this show, we will imagine that there is one.
Ultimately, the women will winnow down the pack, and then the finalists and the three women get to choose love or money. So ultimately, the women as well may prove to be fuck girls.
Right.
That would be shocking.
Could happen.
Right.
Women can do it too.
Those girls?
That's feminism.
No way.
Not CJ.
No way. Not these girls. Yeah, I think everybody on this show is like in it to fuck. If I look like that, I would be fucking right now. I would be doing this on a microphone while I was fucking, okay?
Right. Do you think we're doing this because like we want to, or because we're not hot enough to be fucking right now? Obviously, it's the latter.
Yeah, we have podcasts, okay?
Yeah. What does that tell you?
Okay, so I want to talk about Nikki Glaser as the host. I, for one, was refreshed by the fact that they had a woman hosting this dating show. I'm a fan.
Yeah,
I also love her. She was wearing a lot of Reformation dresses. just want to point that out. It's neither here nor there, but relatable.
We also love Nikki Glaser's stylist. that's another thing. I thought her tone was like absolutely perfect for what this show is. I was obsessed.
I agree. I love that she tells them off. She totally looks down upon them, but in a fun way that they can get behind. You know, I dig her. I think she's doing great.
I feel like she's like working out some issues by doing the show. Like, she's the executive producer, so it's not like she doesn't want to be there. She actively is. She's an active part of the show. I think she's like, okay, I'm going to get revenge on so many guys who wronged me in my 20s. And I support that.
Yeah, she's like, my thing is I want to tell off fuckboys. Like, figure out whatever you need to figure out to make that happen for me. Like, we'll build a show around that. And I do think it's the heart of the show. I love when she comes to F-boys who have been eliminated and gives them therapy. But I also just love that she's being funny with them. Like, everyone on the cast is like invited into the tone of her humor. It's not like a little narration superimposed over the events of the show. I thought it made the whole thing like warmer in a way, even though she's being like hugely bitchy to them most of the time.
Yeah, and they love it, even though they're all kind of dumb and they don't really know what she's saying half the time.
Yeah,
I love that too. They don't get the joke. Like, she has to say more than once, that's the joke. Okay. Yeah. That's the joke. And they don't get it, but they like being roasted.
Yeah, and I like that she brought back, again, like the mid-aughts cheesy elimination lines. I mean, she actually has two, which is pretty impressive, which is F-boy... Wait, what was F-boy by?
F-boy F-by.
And then the other... It should have been F-boy F-off, by the way. But then the other... And then the other one was like, nice guy, nice try, which is actually so mean to the nice guy. But yeah, she has them both. It's like, why not? Like, it harkens back to one of my favorite awful reality show elimination taglines, which was Jonathan Adler on Top Design saying, see you later, see you decorator. Later,
decorator. I love that. It's true. And I love that she has the same disdain, really, for the nice guy. She's like, you're boring. Like, no one cares about you and your relationship with your mom. She knows they all suck.
Yeah.
If the women don't. Speaking of the women, let's talk about our three leads. We have CJ. She's 30. She's like a real, like, influencer slash comedy content maker. She's like, I need a boyfriend who will let me get him arrested as a prank for content.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. I can tell you this. Wherever she's from has a lot of pollution because she's got some serious, like,
I think she's definitely, I couldn't quite suss her out at first, but it seems like a very kind of conscious but also authentic performance of like the ditzy sex kitten persona. Like she does the little vocal squeak and like angles her shoulders flirtatiously and like does the vocal fry. And like, it's very like intentionally telegraphing this persona that I think she knows is like comes off as a little bit like dumb, but in a sexy way. And she's doing it on purpose, which I love.
I really
liked, don't know if we'd hang out.
Yeah, I would never want to hang out with her or talk to her just in her same space. But I think that what I really liked was that when word got back that someone said that she doesn't like, she doesn't seem like someone who would read books. She's like, hello, audiobooks.
Yeah. Does she read audiobooks though? She never said that she read audiobooks.
She said they exist. They exist. But I love her. I think she has like the perfect tone for this show. She's like very vicious in her condemnation of some of the men. She's like down to kind of be in cahoots with some of them. Like she just has a perfect low-key bitchy energy that I frankly aspire to. I think you have to be really, really hot to sort of have that energy, which is not a life experience I've had, but I admire it in her.
Well, it's like everybody on this show, right? It's like, how do thin people, you know, it's like, how did like hot model people, you know, treat life? Like, you don't have to do anything. You just literally show up. You don't have to form a sentence. You don't have to do anything right. You just show up, you know, and everyone's like, that's so charming. Like, if half these guys acted like that with love handles, they would be kicked out of the world, out of the country.
Yeah. CJ literally told a guy, like, I'm bratty, and if you acted the same as me in a relationship, we would go to jail. And then the guy was like, oh, it's like a little toxicity. And she was like, excuse me, how dare you? First, I never used the word toxic. Yeah, I was just being cute about how violent I am. And that's different and okay. Like, she's really
her ability to yes and that moment actually really bothered me. And and I also, like, I'm not sure I really respect someone who's like, I want someone who's dumber than me so that way like they I can pull pranks on them. Like, to me, I'm like, I don't love that. Also, what I don't like about her is that she comes on this show. This is sort of, I think you could say this for her and Sarah, to be honest. But like, I don't like that she comes on this show and says she doesn't want a fuckboy, and then she just goes immediately to the blatant and obvious fuckboys and then disregards if someone's like slightly awkward. Like, the thing you have to look for is the awkwardness. The awkwardness generally will tell you that they're not a fuckboy. And anyone who's awkward is like, ew, I can't believe you used that word around me. I'm going away. I'm like, what are you here for?
They all actually do this to a woman. Yes. It's incredible. Sarah,
Sarah's the worst.
I almost blame the worst. I almost blame the least, though, because she's the youngest. She's 24 and she really seems... She 24. Comes off as quite young and introverted and not cut out for this.
Shockingly,
she's also
right?
She's very she's monotone. She's Sarah. The most monotone reality star I've ever witnessed. She's like, I am a social media manager who I'm just looking for a good guy. I don't think Garrett's a fuck boy. he's a nice guy.
Like, there's a lot of giggling through her mouth without any part of her face or anything, like giggling through her
very
teeth.
Serious. I think she's, you know, for lack of a better term, okay, just kind of a nerdy girl from high school. You know, she probably had like a trapper keeper with horses, stringy hair, real thick glasses, kind of, you know, probably brown hair or something. And then, you know, somewhere along, maybe a gay uncle, I don't know, someone along the line like helped her out and turned her into this. And so she's still like, because she still has that personality, but then with this ba-boom, presence,
she doesn't have the confidence of someone who was head cheerleader in high school.
No,
right.
And she's not lived in this persona her whole life,
but she could do your taxes. You know what I mean? Like, she's smart. She has that kind. She has that kind of confidence.
She could manage your social media. You know,
I don't think she could do that either. So,
well, she's trying.
I don't know what she can do. She is one of the, to me, she is one of the biggest duds I've seen in recent reality TV casting. Like, I don't understand how she got onto a television show.
I feel like Sarah, and like, bless her heart, there's not, like, I would be very similar to her in certain ways if I were cast, like the awkwardness, the wishing I were somewhere else, very stiff with dudes. But to me, it's almost textbook, like, how easy it is to be cast if you're like a blonde chick versus not, or not white. Like, Nakia and CJ both are just like blaring energy at the screen all the time, and they have to. And Sarah can just be like there and blonde.
Yeah.
Nakia is 28. She is a stylist and singer-songwriter. I did look up her latest music video release.
And how is it?
It's like a black girl power anthem, and it's not bad.
Okay.
Honestly, I enjoyed it.
I really like Nakia.
She knows how to put together a music video, which, she's great.
She's very charming. Favorite. She's really, I sort of feel like they know she's going to be the favorite.
They, she's good because she actually seems discerning. Like, she will not kiss anyone. Like, through the first three episodes, I don't believe she kissed anyone. She's going to put the guys through their paces, which I appreciate, because it feels like CJ and Sarah are just like, it's a hot guy. And they're just going to go for it. And then they're going to say, no, we don't want fuck boys. But they're just like, they're clearly just there for hot guys. And Nakia's like, no, I am going to, like, these are hot guys, yes, but I am going to make them work if they're gonna want me, which I appreciate at least putting some effort into the show.
I think Nakia, like, wants to be discerning and is discerning, but she actually really likes the fuck boys.
They
all do.
But that's the thing. The thing about Nakia that's incredible is that she will diagnose, in my opinion, accurately who the F boys are, and then she'll be like, but I do just like them.
Right.
Like, she knows.
Right.
Or she's like, what he did was really rude, but I liked it. And I'm like, you're being self-aware, but that's just step one. Like, you have to actually make the better choice now. And she seems to be having some issues with that. But she has a much more in control, confident approach in general. Whereas CJ, I think, is like all over the place. And Sarah is just like sitting there.
CJ is extremely chaotic. Like, CJ's like chaotic evil. And Sarah is like neutral and
true neutral.
True neutral.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like CJ, you know, acts a certain way, and then you get into a relationship with her, and then she gets mad, and just the house is burnt down, you know? Like, she's just going to get super angry. You know, she's got fire, that kid.
Wow, I can't believe you would say that about poor CJ. Are you calling CJ toxic? Sorry.
Well, like saccharin, like an artificial sweetener is kind of toxic, but it's still delicious.
Yeah. So let's talk about episode one. Oh my god, we have so much to go through. The F-boy boat lands on the shores of F-boy Island, bearing 24 boys, lots of half-open floral button-downs, white pants. I appreciate that we don't have to be introduced to any of them. They're just like, it's not worth
Thank
it.
God.
Here's a mass of guys with biceps. You'll find out about them if they're important. Like, that's good.
Like, right. It's not The Bachelor. The Bachelorette. We don't need to try to memorize all of their names.
No.
It is a waste of our brain power.
The show doesn't even pretend that that's possible. They're literally just like, do you remember Charlie? No.
And they're like,
no,
who's that? I love that, they show the women being like, is that person a part of this cast? I've never seen him.
I love this boat shot because it's very like Mayflower. It's like the dick flower coming to the island. It's all these guys coming to the new world, you know, and they all have the same accent. They all have like fuckboy accent. They're like, yo, what's up? We're going to go to the island. You know, they all like have that boy band.
Yeah, they're like, yo, we're going to have some dope parties here, right?
Yeah, like dope, bro.
Yeah, and so they begin to mingle around the pool. And then Nikki Glaser shows up and introduces the three women by having them basically catwalk down roughly 13 inches of pavement between the row of F-boys and the edge of the pool.
Yes. Yes, that was very perilous.
It's like literally touch the F-boys or fall into the surf. Like, those are your options, ladies. Choose wisely.
It's also very, like, it's girl empowerment. This show is all about what F-boys are, and this is for the women to have power. And they're like, all right, ladies, show the men what they're bidding for, you know?
Yeah. Show them the merch. Yeah, let's call it up on the auction block.
Yeah.
They are given each three wristbands to hand out to guys that they want to get extra time with in their VIP tents at the first pool party that night. And so CJ gives hers to three dudes, Jamie, Peter, and Casey. Sarah's dudes are Ryan, Colin, and Anthony. Nikia picks Israel, Greg, and also Colin. Almost creates a rivalry, but then they just like rock, paper, scissors for it. And it seems to, the women all seem very tight.
Yeah. I love that the women like never seem to be in conflict ever. Yeah. Even when they like sort of step on each other's toes, they're all like, oh, yeah, whatever. It's fine.
It was refreshing because it's probably more realistic to how it would be in real life.
Yeah, like if you go out to a club, you're not constantly just like getting in fights with your friends over who gets to talk to the cute guy at the bar. Like, that's not really how people work in the world. And so Garrett is a guy, they weirdly like spoil a couple of the F-boys and then they don't with others.
I like that, actually.
I thought it was fun. With Garrett. It was a strategic choice because Garrett gives you a lot to work with his F-boy admissions.
He has truly the most punchable face I've ever seen in my life.
This guy is such a fuckboy, and the fact that Sarah can't even see it, and we can all see it a mile away.
Oh my God.
Without even him admitting that he's a fuckboy, is so frustrating in this experience.
Oh my God. It's frustrating to me that he is an F-boy, because like you can tell he is, but also at the same time, I'm like, who do you think you are, dude? Like, you look like a ham. With hair. I'm not impressed. No. And you're so into yourself.
And he's also got frown face.
Yeah. Yes.
That's probably why Sarah likes him, because I actually noticed that about Sarah.
So what you're saying is that she recognized herself in Sarah.
Frown recognized frown.
Sarah's harmless and lovely, and Garrett is like a truly, I'm convinced, a terrible person.
He's a douchebag.
Garrett lays out his plans. Basically, he's like, I'm an F-boy. I'm going to, like, you know, play the game, get the money. And then he's like, I'm going to go for CJ first. She has that sex goddess vibe. He goes over to CJ. He's like, I made a beeline for you. You're the woman that I want. And then she's sort of a little skeptical. She's like, you guys are being nice. That's very suspicious. And he's like, no, this seems too challenging. I'm going to go for a softer target. That blonde girl smiling over there who seems perfectly ready to hear that I'm interested in her feelings. And he goes over to her and uses the same line. He's like, I made a beeline right for you after CJ. Can I have a VIP wristband? And she's like, oh, yeah, sure. I respect that you asked for it.
Yeah, she's like, he made an effort towards me. And that is what I really want. I'm going to give this to him because he made an effort. No, he didn't. He basically just cut in line from everybody else and stole.
Literally did nothing.
She is like so conflict avoidant, like that he can use that against her. And I think that's a big part of the arsenal for him is that like, if you ask someone like Sarah for a favor, she doesn't know how to say no. She's just like, yeah. And then he's like, believe it, I'm not an F-boy. And she's like, okay. Like, I don't know how to say no to that either.
And then you can like tell how people are so quickly. Like CJ, the first thing she does is walk into the villa and feel the curtains. Did you notice that?
No,
she
walked in and she was amazing.
Like,
oh.
She was just like feeling the curtains. Like, how much money did they spend on me in this film, you know?
I respect that, frankly.
She's looking out for herself. And this is the point that night when she sits down with Jamie, actually, and has the conversation.
Where
he brings up the word toxicity because he's clearly trying to, like, get on banter. Her level, banter yeah. with her, and it goes very south for him immediately.
He seemed, like, adorable and lovely and was about to have some great, great banter, and she was just like, ew, toxic. No, thank you, sir.
Yeah, so. I know. I felt bad for Jamie. Way. I was like, Jamie didn't commit any F-boy crimes here.
No.
He really
didn't. I think his crime was looking old because I think he got age-shamed right out of this because he looks older than the other guys, and I can tell he's lying because it says Jamie Wood, 30. Girl, yeah. I mean, come on, just be your age. Maybe they'll be like, oh, maybe he possibly has a better job.
CJ sits down with Peter and immediately pegs him as an F-boy as well because he starts talking about having babies with her and being sleep buddies. And she's like, that's love bombing. Goodbye. Again, I sort of thought this was banter as well. I'm too gullible.
I was actually surprised by this because I wasn't really listening too much to what he was saying. I was more just trying to focus on his demeanor, which I thought was incredibly awkward. So based on the awkwardness, I was like, well, this guy's obviously a nice guy. Like, right? Like the sleep thing was to me like, oh, this is a nice guy messing up his banter. Because if it was someone who was like a fuckboy, he would know he'd be much smoother and know how to handle it. So needless to say, I mean, it was a spoiler alert. It was an educational moment for me because he turned out to be a fuckboy.
I know. I would have been totally taken in. I didn't see it coming.
How to pick a fuckboy.
And he's not a fuckboy. He's not a fuckboy. I just don't believe. I think he's just lying, trying to look cool for the other guys. Because that's what these shows turn into anyway. It's like The Bachelorette. Yeah. The guys are really just there to become bros, right? Yeah. With each other for the most part.
To joust with each other.
Yeah, and I think that Peter just wants... This Peter we're talking about, right? Peter, I think, just wants to look cool for the other guys because he's so nice. I mean, a fuckboy doesn't say, my hobby is taking a nap. And she's like, oh, I love sleeping. And he's like, maybe we could nap together. And she's like, love bombing. No, it's like the most innocent thing you can do is like, let's just take a nap together. Like, what are we, 5? You know? So I don't believe it.
Ronnie is totally right. Yeah. And this is again where this show fails because guys are not good at diagnosing what they actually are. So he's saying he's a fuckboy because he came here for the money. But how is he actually in a relationship? I actually would think that he's probably a nice guy because he's just so awkward.
Yeah. This is actually something that comes up with Garrett P. is like, what does it actually look like to be an F-boy? Colin is like, Garrett P. is definitely an F-boy because he, like, tries too hard. He has no game. And, like, I would say that that's not what an F-boy is. Like, they're all just working with their own definitions of what that would look like.
No, Garrett P. is just a creep.
He's just a creep. He does not seem like an F-boy, but...
Yeah, there is, like, an overlap between creep and F-boy, but usually an F-boy is too smooth to be correctly assessed as a creep.
Yeah.
I think that, like, where the show could use some work is in their challenges, because I don't even remember half the challenges. I remember there was some weird three-way water balloon fight, but the challenges should actually be more in line with getting to the core of what these guys believe in a relationship. I think that that would have been, like, a really good thing, something that would reveal things, so even if they say they're a nice guy, we can see that actually they're kind of fuckboys. Like, they... You know, where we hear some of their past, some of their exploits, or what their opinions are on things. That's all done in fun and games, but actually could have an emotional effect on the situation.
Yeah, the challenges are completely useless. Like, we can almost ignore them, I think. Like, they're not really part of the plot. Yeah. But Garrett P's whole move with Nakia is to just, like, whisper in her ear, like, I'd love to have 2 minutes with you. And she just, like, completely ignores him because this is such an awkward move, which, like...
And then he stands behind her like this.
Yeah. He's got, like, weird energy. I can't blame her for finding that energy weird.
And but he's too aggressive. Like, I know he's just standing there, but he's standing there, like, boring holes into the back of her head. You know, even when she turns away,
creepy.
He's just like... he's like, I'm just going to keep standing here until you come with me.
He was actually trying to love bomb. That was the true love bomb. Because I think that if he had gotten a one-on-one, he would have then started to love bomb. Because that's clearly that intense thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He doesn't get the chance. Nakia's like, no, thank you. But meanwhile, CJ is hanging out with Casey, one of her top picks. And she is really vibing with him. He tells her he also goes by CJ at home. And I want to say he has it tattooed on his arm, his own name.
It's, let that so sink in. Fucking weird.
That is the biggest red flag I've seen so far.
He looks like kind of a child to me. And I know that I'm older, and sometimes watching these shows, I'm like, are you really making fun of someone half your age? Yes, I am. He looks very, very young, and he acts very, very young to me.
Yeah. He has a boyish vibe.
I feel
like he works at a pizzeria, and he just gets ass in the back alley all the time.
Yes.
100%.
The sweet, sweet Domino's ass.
Like, really, he's definitely giving F-boy energy, but I also frankly see the appeal, and maybe that's shameful, but he's like, wears glasses later on, and I'm just like, I get it, CJ.
No, he's like the hottest guy on my high school soccer team.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to resist on some level.
I feel like he's like a nice fuckboy, so where you don't really regret it after. Like, he really makes you feel good during, you know, even if he never calls you again, you're like, God, he was so nice.
I have to disagree. I think the nice guy fuckboy ones are the worst, because those are the ones where you actually be like, he's hot, he's into me, and he's nice. This could actually be something.
Yeah,
and
actually,
he like leads with that. Well, and whereas like a big piece of meat who you know is just basically a fuck, that's the good time. You're like, this guy's got no personality. He's just a fuck. I'm just going to go along with the stupid things he's saying about how we're going to have babies. That's fine. This is physical. But someone who like sells you the dream and does the puppy dog eyes and follows you around, and then next thing you know, he's saying, oh, we're going too fast. I just love it.
Like, if you're
going to
hurt my feelings,
make it good. Make it worth it.
Yeah, if you're going to hurt my feelings, be polite about it. You know what I mean?
That's men like Casey, he would destroy me. Like, he's just the guy that I dated briefly in my 20s that I was, like, so honored that this hot guy wanted to go out with me. And then I got, like, so my heart just, like, stomped on the ground. And I, then went to therapy, thank God.
I've never been selected to be fucked with by a guy like this. Mm. So, like, to me, I'm just like... Sounds like it would be a nice little interlude in an otherwise.
I'm going to tell you one thing. This guy's a fuckboy, but he's going to say he's a nice guy. I guarantee it.
Oh, yeah.
Meanwhile, Chris's strategy is to feed dirt to the women and be like an accomplice. So he just like sits CJ down and is like, Colin's an F-boy. This is the guy that got two wristbands. Just sowing a little dissension from the start.
And he's an F-boy too, right? This guy's a total...
100%.
Yeah, he's a total cheeseball. He's not a good person. And he is the bachelor guy who's the tattletale, the classic tattletale. Every season has one. So I don't like him. And he is hot, but I think just the way he moves his face, the way his whole personality exudes from him, no.
So I think that this is telling, because the women then go on their first set of dates, and we see them all pick, like, perhaps some of the most obvious fuckboys for their dates. Sarah takes Garrett on a yacht, and he tells her a sob story. CJ takes Casey paddleboarding, and Nakia takes Colin horseback riding. And, like, these guys are clearly all front runners, and they're clearly all fuckboys.
Yeah,
I don't know about Colin. I mean, at first I thought Colin was definitely a fuckboy. But now it's hard to tell. I'm having a hard time reading
him.
Okay,
that's fair, actually. That's fair. Colin is a question mark. Casey and Garrett, though.
I mean, obviously, huge fuckboys.
I still think, you know, I see the question mark with Colin. However, Nakia makes a good point, which is, like, he's so well-groomed. He's so well put together. He's also assuming this kind of, like, approachable, smooth demeanor that, like, isn't coming on too strong. And I think that it's actually hitting exactly the right note, and that is suspicious. Like, he's just nice enough.
He's also drop dead gorgeous, which I think it helps. I think it really helps. Be like, well, maybe he's not so bad.
You're like, but he's so pretty.
But that's exactly why they're able to be fuckboys. Like, come on, ladies. Yeah. And so on this date, Nakia tells him, like, I heard from one of the guys that you're an F-boy. And so Colin immediately goes home and accuses Garrett P of talking shit about him to Nakia. And Garrett's like, literally, when? Like, I never spoke to her for even 1 second.
He fell into that trap. He gave Chris just what he wanted.
Yeah.
I know.
And so they kind of have this little altercation, Garrett's like, maybe you see me as a threat. And Colin's like, no, I see you as a snake. And poor Garrett's like, please see me as a threat. Like, I'm a threat. I'm big. Like, I'm old. Like, all the threatening things. And Colin's like, whatever, and gets up to leave. And Garrett kind of gets in his way and tries to, like, insist on a friendly, like, hand clasp or hug, yeah, bro hug or whatever, and makes Colin, like, climb over a chair to get away from him, which I thought was kind of a weird, gross power play. I hate when dudes do stuff like that. Like, it's like, do the bro hug with me, or, like,
right,
get, well, around, he's
aggressively trying to prove
out of,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's aggressively trying to get you to prove that he's not aggressive. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it was,
yeah,
weird.
Yeah. And Colin's like, Colin is not fooled. He's like, fuck that. Like, next time I'm throwing him in the pool. And so it's time for elimination.
By the way, I think Colin's a fuckboy now. I've changed my mind. I'm looking at his Instagram.
Did you look at his Instagram?
I looked at his Instagram, and it's like a picture of him being in a car being like, yo. And he has like a million hashtags. One of them is hashtag art, hashtag cute, hashtag edit, hashtag fashion.
But hashtag, you know, I'm afraid cute? Yeah, no, you're
no,
down.
No, I'm sorry. And you know what? I think,
like, for people looking for cute things to find me as well. Like, who, yeah, what's not to like about that?
Just want to be on the right category. But yeah. I think that there's a good chance that this might be another case of someone who is a fuckboy but categorizes himself officially with the show as a nice guy.
Quite possible, for
he's
sure.
He's also very watch forward on his Instagram, where he's like always kind of showing off his watch, which basically means he's a fuckboy.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Like,
he's really going
out
for those sponsorships, okay? Can you blame him? Yeah. And so
Ben
it's
said,
time,
literally, watch out.
It's time,
like,
for
you
the
can't have your watch out and not have the overall message be watch out.
So dumb.
So true. It's time for the eliminations. And at elimination, each woman basically picks two men to call up as their bottom two, and then explain why they're in the bottom two, then the men can kind of respond before they choose one person to eliminate. So Sarah chooses two guys she doesn't feel spark with, Andrew and Paul. I don't know. CJ picks Jamie for calling her toxic, Peter for love bombing her, Nakia picks Colin for the F-boy rumor, and she picks Garrett P and says, like, you came on way too strong. And Garrett's like, yes, thank you for this opportunity to read you the poem that I wrote,
oh, yeah,
for,
oh,
you,
no,
which I'm now going,
Shel,
to read
Silverstein
in full.
Is here. Yeah.
Because he says in his HBO bio that he's a poet and an artist.
Jesus,
which,
no.
I mean,
let's see if our listeners agree. When we fall off the path at times, it leads us to strengthen and sharpen our minds. Some of these journeys we must take alone to find what we search for in a place that's unknown. On the other side, it's calm and it's warm, because when we find love, we're no longer a storm. Garrett Powers. And yes, he
Garrett
did verbally
Powers,
sign it.
And
you
read
case
that
anyone was
be.
Wondering.
Garrett Powers.
Wow.
And this is very effective in that it helps Nikki understand that she must eliminate Garrett, and also eliminated our Andrew and Peter. And upon elimination, we are informed what they came as. And we learned that Andrew and Garrett came as nice guys and Peter as an F-boy.
Shocking.
Yeah.
That one. Peter. The other two were, I mean, I didn't even know who Andrew was.
Right, exactly. Peter, the thing about Peter is that, like, he is so beautiful and he clearly knows it. And that's, like, a little suspicious. I thought he was a nice guy too, though.
It's good for him for fooling us.
Yeah, seriously. When they leave, basically the nice guys get into a beautiful, like, stretch party van and are taken to the nice guy grotto. And the F-boy, Peter, is made to wait at a bus stop for a shitty bus that takes him to, like, yeah, a wooden fenced encampment prison.
I didn't understand any of this. And I continue to not
Limbro.
Understand it. Yeah, Limbro. It's like this weird Trading Places moment that they're having. I'm expecting Don Amici to show up. I'm like, why are they doing this?
Well, we're going to find out as the show continues. It was a moment where I was like, what genre of show am I watching? Like, things have changed.
Yeah.
Major Lord of the Flies vibes. But on that note, we come to the end of episode one, and we are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with episode two.
Can you keep up? I like love it.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
And you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week.
Eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Just heat and savor the good stuff.
Plus, you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. And you can pause or reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
They're celebrating Earth Day all month long at Factor. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Especially since I've been back from my travels, I've gotten really out of practice with my normal meal prep. And so Factor has been really helping me kind of bridge that gap, know that I have healthy, whole meals in my fridge ready to eat when I need them.
Head to factormeals.com/LTSI50 and use code LTSI50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month.
That's code LTSI50 at factormeals.com/LTSI50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Anyone who's been listening to this podcast for a while, or even not that long, knows that we love Article. I mean, honestly, I'm looking around my home right now. Coffee tables from Article. That lovely chair out on my deck, Article. Our big console, Article. My bed frame, Article. This is an Article household.
It is. And it was an inspiration to me. We finally got our first Article piece of furniture recently, our new couch. And my husband and I are both constantly just like, how did we live before this couch? This is such an improvement over what we had before. It's so comfortable. It just seems to get more comfortable every day. I mean, it's the couch you dream of.
And the reason that we have both been able to find ideal furniture on Article is because Article believes in delightful design for every home.
And thanks to their online-only model, they have some really delightful prices, too.
Their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, industrial, Scandi, and boho designs makes furniture shopping simple.
And their team of designers are all about finding that perfect balance between style, quality, and price, because we all want the best of all of those three things united in one piece of furniture, right?
Plus, they're dedicated to thoughtful craftsmanship that stands the test of time and, you know, looks good doing it.
Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
To claim, visit article.com/LTSI, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout.
That's article.com/LTSI for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
And now we're back, and it's time for us to get into episode 2. We open at the Nice Guy Grotto, where the eliminated nice guys are feeding each other grapes and discussing all of the lobster that they will be eating for dinner. And meanwhile, we discover a little more about Limbro, because Peter is in an all beige, like desert outfit, playing coconut catch with himself.
Yeah.
He has to like hack open coconuts to eat is the implication. Like, I really hope that they're also giving him food because I read a book about someone trying to live off of coconuts and sunlight alone. And it
did not
end
go well.
Well, it doesn't end.
Oh, really?
Well at all.
No. Because yeah. I follow some of those fruitarians.
It's about a fruitarian.
Yeah. Cause, you know, I love diets. And so I was reading a fruitarian thing and I can't believe those people are still alive, but they are. I mean, they're all teeth and forehead, but bless their yeah. hearts. They're still with us.
Depends on what you see as a happy ending, yeah. I suppose. But he's alive for now.
Alive. Happy ending.
And
still got their teeth.
I kind of enjoyed this in the end.
Me too.
Felt like it was kind of winking at the way that some of these shows, like Too Hot to Handle, like treat reality shows as if it's like therapy for. Yes. Four fuckboys, and like we're gonna change them with our behavioral interventions, and it's like we're literally going to put them in a prison on a desert island and have.
Well, they're all broke models, you know. They're all poor models, so it's not like they're not used to living like that. You know, that's what they
they're
do.
Like, the cot. This seems familiar. No, yes. I thought it really worked. I kind of liked that they were letting the cast members in on the joke in a sense, and I felt like it worked with the tone, and it just felt, I don't know, it felt cheeky in a way that I enjoyed because I'm so used to watching like The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, which is just so fucking self-serious all yes. the time.
Yes.
And yeah. this yeah. felt really different in a way that I enjoyed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back at the house, the women are looking to weed out some F-boys this week. And they're going to have an opportunity to learn more about the guys by playing three-way water balloon dodgeball, which actually seems like a very inefficient way, as we've discussed, of learning anything about them. The women, for all of these group dates, kind of draft teams on the beach, much like being picked for softball in junior high. And they just, like, pick big dudes that they think will be good at dodgeball.
I mean, strategic.
How yeah. else are you supposed to find a husband? Yeah.
Except yeah. for Cameron. They always pick him last for all the challenges. Poor Cameron.
Yeah, poor Cameron. I know. I don't know. I didn't understand. I was like, what is Cameron doing wrong? Because we really never learn. But he's just consistently last.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so the game is like completely chaotic, obviously. It's three-way water balloon dodgeball. Any one of those elements I would find really confusing on its own. But they have a blast. They get each other wet. And Sarah's team ultimately wins, which means nothing. But what yeah. does mean a little something is that they each pick an MVP from their team that they'll get some one-on-one time with later. So Sarah picks Jared, Nakia picks Greg, and CJ picks Sean. And they have a big group party that night, and they get like one-on-one time with the guys they picked.
First, we get a little interlude with Greg and Nakia. And Greg is doing great until he commits a crime, which is that he admits that he used to be a club promoter.
This yeah. is, yeah. And it leads to the just red flags going up all over where they start trying to guess who's a club promoter and labeling them. Also, this is the guy with the huge beard, right?
Yeah. yeah.
I need more from you, sir. Yeah, I need more
the beard
than
is
your
doing
beard.
Everything.
Yeah,
he's more than a beard. All the work.
It's too much. It's like, oh, look, I'm combing it. Hey, let's do a scene of me putting conditioner in my beard. You need more of a personality, okay? Your beard is not working for me.
Yeah, there are these strange interstitial F-boy tips where they're like, this is how you do your beard, or this is how you roll around in the surf. It's funny. It contributes to the overall irreverent vibe of the show, but it is also kind of. I feel like I would like a little bit more of that time to meet and get to know some of these people as much as I enjoy a nice little comic bit in the middle.
It feels very TikTok-y to me. Like they're very much trying to introduce this of the moment. Like they're music video influenced interstitials, but they also have like little cheeky text and like jokes and meme hashtag things. And so I think in a few years it will seem pretty
very dated.
But now it just feels very.
It feels
very,
like it's something that like someone in their 50s was like, ooh, this is gonna be something hip. Let's do this.
Yeah.
And I'm 33 and it worked on me. So there you go. Try showing that to like a 19-year-old. Sarah and Jared don't really seem to vibe.
No.
She asks him like if he wants the white picket fence, and he's like, nah.
No.
That's not it for me, I don't think.
CJ and Sean sit down. Sean seems sweet, actually.
I'm into Sean.
CJ, he used to work as a Chippendales dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And that he got married super young and was married for a couple of years. And this is when CJ reveals that she has two gay dads. And she's like, they're going to be into me dating.
Yeah. I was worried for him at that point when she's like, oh my God. She's like, oh my God, my dads are going to love you. They're gay.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if that's the guy you want to marry. If your dads are like, yes, every time he comes in, I knew he was in trouble.
You're on a date with someone and they're like, oh, my parents are really going to want to creep on you. For real.
Yeah.
Like, oh, cool. Great. I love that. Sarah flirts a little bit with Davij. CJ chats with Mark, who's an investment banker. Mark is like a little out of place on this show, I feel like.
He looks
like he's just came with a bucket of SPF 90 and like a closet full of vineyard vines.
He was just shipped right from Nantucket straight to the Cayman Islands.
Right. And he's like the wacky guy growing up because he has like a funny suit and he's like always doing his hair. Right.
I appreciate a guy who looks like Francis Fisher, but I feel like he does not fit with this cast.
No. He's like the David S. Pumpkins of Paradise.
He does look like Francis Fisher.
He looks like Francis Fisher. Look at him. If you look at him, it's like, oh, look, there's Rose's mom on Titanic.
Oh my God.
He really does.
Oh my God. I didn't see it. Now it's all I can see.
And he's the guy that's always trying to make a dad joke to be funny, but then he can't stop making the dad jokes. And she's like, that was funny at first, but.
Well, he makes the joke and then like immediately is like, what if that didn't land? I should be like, just kidding. Or I should just immediately make another one. Like one of these is just throw the spaghetti. Some of it's going to stick. And I'm like, that's not.
I'm going to change my suit. I'm going to change my suit now. Get a different suit. Get a wackier suit.
Davij, meanwhile, has decided that he's into Sarah and Nakia, but he is not into CJ. So he sits down with some of the dudes and is like, you know, CJ seems high maintenance. And I don't think she reads, which I'm not into. Like, I don't think, like, I'd like to maybe date a woman who reads.
If he had said, do you read? Do you like to read? And she said, no, that would be one thing. But him just saying, she seems like the kind of person who doesn't read a book.
Yeah, he was basically like, she's real. A bitch who's dumb, is basically what he was saying.
I'd like to know what he's reading, by the way. Okay, I don't think it's Kafka.
He's definitely reading Toni
Robbins, not Toni Morrison.
Toni Morrison.
He's
definitely reading Toni Robbins. I was going to say, definitely he's reading the kind of books that you find like on like the Blinkist app that are like, we summarize the top 10 pieces of management advice from this bestseller.
His bio on this website says he enjoys closing influencer brand deals, selling houses, and expanding his melatonin company. And he's also a big cat person. You know what? This guy's awful. He's so awful. I'm glad he was eliminated.
Who
says that, like, as a hobby, they enjoy selling houses, but also closing influencer brand
deals?
He's
terrible. I'm sorry, go away. Absolutely terrible. Not into him.
He's into the hustle. I mean, it's a little funny because I do think that he's very much picking up what CJ is explicitly laying down, which is, like, my persona is I'm high maintenance and I'm a ditz. Like, and I think she projects that intentionally as sort of a semi-comedic thing. And also it's something a lot of guys like. It's not for Davij.
Right.
But also, you can't call her high maintenance, like, just like that to all the dudes. Like, that was, like, a really
dumb thing. He was just being a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm 100% allowed to say, like, hey, guys, I'm gay. But if someone's like, Ronnie, he's gay, it's, like, different. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Well, I think they weren't really having a heart-to-heart. Like, if it would be one thing if they were just talking about the girls, but like, you know, I'm not really into CJ. She seems a little high maintenance, not my vibe. But they were just all sitting around, like, talking about, you know, football or something. And he's like, you know what? She's high maintenance and doesn't read books. He just sort of came out of nowhere and kind of slammed her. And I was like, that's not a good look.
But Casey does not think CJ sucks. She has decided to get a tour from him, from the guys living quarters. It's correct what was noted earlier that she's really into interior decor.
Yes.
She's like, I want to see the layouts, like, the curtains.
What thread count do you require in your curtains?
And they make out on his bunk bed. And the next day, they get some exclusive date time. Nakia picks Jared. CJ picks Mark for some of his ill-fated stand-up.
and Sarah takes Josh.
I love Josh.
I love Josh.
He's the only one maybe that I think is nice.
Yeah, he seems nice. He's hot.
He's so hot.
I mean, if he winds up being a fuckboy, I'll be really disappointed.
I really think he's nice.
The thing is that he's hot, but in a way that actually doesn't seem that carefully manicured. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just like, he's a hot guy, but it doesn't seem like he's used to, like, presenting himself to women.
He also doesn't project an energy that so many of these dudes do, which is like, I know exactly how hot I am, and I'm going to, like, wield that as a weapon. Yeah.
In his cast picture, he chose to pose in front of a Ferris wheel and a Dippin' Dots. So a Dippin' Dots. Sorry for putting the G. A Dippin' Dots. So
if he's a fuckboy, okay, he's like a high level one. That would be like high level fuckboy behavior to seem that much of a nice guy. CJ like kind of asks some of the guys who is peacocking the most, and Matt and Chris both point to Casey. So that this is one of these first hints that Casey is like going to get some scrutiny in the house.
But of course, Garrett is just affronted on behalf of his best friend.
Of course, Garrett and Casey are like bros for life.
And Casey's like, I don't really know what peacocking is, but I didn't think I'm doing it.
I didn't. CJ takes Mark to see some blowholes, and all he does is make like porny jokes and joke that he didn't shower, and then immediately be like, just kidding, I obviously did. Haha, why is no one laughing? Have you heard the one about the sperm bank? And CJ's not into it. This is clearly the death of anything between them.
Crash and burn.
But
Josh and Sarah, on the other hand, seem to actually make a nice romantic connection, which was a great foil to her and Garrett, I thought. The only downfall is that Josh does not make a move because he's so sweet.
So nice.
Or maybe he has standards. I'm sorry. Like, he deserves better than Sarah, okay?
I don't know if any of these guys have standards.
Josh deserves way more. I mean, we have to also admit that as awesome as Josh seems, let's not forget, he did volunteer to come on the show called F-Boy Island. Yeah. Okay, so there is, like, we have to remember that. But I just feel like Sarah, like, he deserves better. He deserves Nakia, I think. Nakia's my favorite, and I think he deserves Nakia. The best with the best.
I don't think he wants Nakia.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think Nakia wants him. Sorry, I don't think Nakia wants him is more what I meant. Like, I don't think
we never really see them together.
He's too even for Nakia. She's like, she needs a little more energy.
Yeah. I think Sarah will actually kind of go along with more or less whoever is in front of her, whereas Nakia is very much like, I love the F-boy energy. Like, she actively loves it. Although she knows.
When Sarah goes to an ATM and it's like, would you like me to do anything else for you? She's like, oh my God, we're in love. Like, she'll really get an ATM.
If you want.
Sure. What would you like to do? Jared and Nakia go jet skiing, and they have tons of chemistry, I guess. They seem super into each other. Nakia says she was raised by a single mother, so they sort of bond a little bit out of these less conventional family backgrounds.
And another thing, like, I just want to point out here is that it's like a real contrast to the Bachelor formula, which is to like drag out anything that could be played as trauma into this like huge moment that's teased and like made so much of. And I liked that the sharing on this show seems to be like a lot more natural and casual. It's like, oh yeah, I was raised by a single mom and that impacted me. And they're like, oh wow, that's cool. Yeah. That's a thing I know about you now.
To be fair, maybe they just didn't have the budget for all the Pier 1 empty candle vase holder things, you know? And they were like, listen, we can't give you the full set to do this. You're not going to get a rubber chicken sat in front of you, okay? Just get this done on a roller skating date.
So. That's true. They're like, I'm sorry, we only have a jet ski for you.
I think they actually fully undercut it, though, because, like, Garrett pulls, like, a full Bachelorette-style confessional. And then you immediately cut to him being
it's a scam.
You immediately cut to him openly saying, like, I say these things to girls so that they feel like they can open up to me, but actually I'm just trying to get them to open their legs to me. Like, they're, like, dissecting the Bachelor sob story.
And that's the problem with these shows. Everybody is too trained now, because all you have to do is watch one season of The Bachelor to know how it works. And we all know how it works, but I'm still tricked by it every time. I mean, we give fuckboys crap all the time on our show, and I find them all hot. Like, I would date any single one of them. I'm like, well, at least they opened up. I mean, maybe it was just fake to get a 20 off me, but they still at least tried. I mean, a fake tear is better than no tear.
You have to respect how excellent they are at their craft, and I think that's what this show is teaching
We've really grown some great sociopaths here in American pop culture.
It's like our greatest export as a country. Back at the living quarters of the still standing guys, the men are all kind of waiting for the dates to end, and there's going to be a night party as well. And the women arrive, and poor CJ has lost her voice.
Oh, such a beautiful voice.
She was sexy babying too hard for Mark. You would think that the salt water would have the opposite effect, right? Like, you're supposed to gargle the salt water to fix your sore throat.
Maybe if she read a book, she would know that.
Yeah, read a book. Ooh. Read a book, CJ. So this is when CJ learns about the awful things Davij said to her.
From Chris, obviously, who is just like the resident snitch.
Yeah. Chris just like shoots up to CJ and is like, someone called you high maintenance and it was Davij. Meanwhile, Josh finally is like, Sarah, can I kiss you? And she's like, okay, yes. She's like, I normally don't like that, but it really worked in this case. And I was like, yes, it did, Sarah, clearly, because you agreed. Would you have ever said no? We'll never find out. We've never seen you do it. And then at the end of the night, Nakia tells them that three of them will be eliminated the next day. But CJ is going to have to do it via written statement because her voice gets more and more absent throughout this episode.
And frankly, she luckily is prepared with some one-liners. So it really works having Nikki be her stand-in.
I wouldn't mind her doing it this way the whole time.
I was going to say.
She has to write down every single thing she wants to say. And Nikki just stands there and like has the dates for her.
Yeah, let's take CJ's voice out of this equation. Fewer women speaking on this show. CJ chooses Davij, of course, and Chris. She has decided to put him there basically to throw people off the scent, but she's trying
CJ
to play
is
the game.
Calculated. Yeah. She's like, I need my mole to stick around and I need to throw the other dudes off the scent. And so she thinks it's working. I don't really know. I think all the guys kind of know.
They know it's Chris. I mean, yeah, they know. At that point, they're being like, how many of us were even there when Davij said that stuff? And it's like, definitely it was Chris. But, you know, she lists all the things he said about her. And she's like, I concur. I am high maintenance. And lucky for me, audiobooks exist. Which I'm like, again, I'm like, so CJ, what you're saying is that he was right. Like, you're undermining our outrage on your behalf. But like, okay. Nakia picks Tariq and Israel, both because they're not really trying to get to know the women. Sarah picks Anthony and Charlie basically for the same reason. Like, they're like, you guys have all just been like,
you haven't tried. Doing you're sitting on your other. Laurels. You're like, yeah, you're chilling with the boys. You're partying. Like, you know, try harder. And ultimately, Davij, Israel, and Charlie are eliminated. And Davij and Israel admit that they are, in fact, F-boys. And then Charlie's like, I'm so sorry, but I am actually 100% a nice guy. And at this point, a producer is in Nikki Glaser's ear and is like, no, he's literally an F-boy. We have hours of casting footage. And then they do something that I absolutely fucking love, which is that they roll the tape. And it's so good.
Yeah. This was from the Jeff Probst school of getting in an argument with your own guests, right? Like, Nikki's like, no, you're a fuckboy. You're a fuckboy. And this guy's like, no, I'm not. No, I'm not a fuckboy at all. Which, by the way, is the most fuckboy thing to do is to say that you're a nice guy, right? So he's actually the most fuckboy person.
100%.
So
yeah. 100%.
He's the biggest fuckboy yet. Right. I mean, it's so funny.
And then didn't he have like a fuckboy excuse
too? No, he was like, I was in pain personally, so I decided to inflict pain on a lot of women. That means I'm nice. I don't know. That means I'm nice.
One of the tenets of being a fuckboy is to declare that you used to be a fuckboy, but you've changed now, and this is version 2.0 or 3.0 of whoever you are.
100%. Yes.
Wasn't he also the one who was like, you know, people look at me and they think, oh, he's gorgeous.
Yes.
Look at him. He's so beautiful. They think, oh, look at that face. Look at those muscles. Oh, God, yes. It's like, you're making yourself climax, sir. Okay.
Claiming that people misjudge you as an F-boy because you are so beautiful is like almost like confessing that you're an F-boy. Because I'm like, why? I'm sorry. You're saying that a lot of people call you a fuckboy is what I'm hearing. And what yes. I'm taking away from that is that you're a fuckboy. And
yeah.
Right. Like, come on. Like, I wasn't and born yesterday. Also,
it's also so these shows, right, that they make themselves such big victims because he's not the only one where they're like, oh, man, you know what? It's really hard because people look at me and they just think, God, he's so hot. And it's really hard. Like, nobody knows the real... I'm like, you're the real victim yeah. right now.
I'm so tired of being judged. Well, he's like,
look, it's really hot. It's really hard. I am a straight, white, beautiful man in this world. Won't anyone think about my pain?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's like, when does privilege become a burden?
I'm sorry that I spent hours every single day making my body look like this and making sure my skin was perfect. I feel so misjudged by this thing that I've done to myself.
Why should I be canceled just because of my pecs? It just
Where's my protest? Where's my rally?
So he and Nikki get into this ridiculous exchange where finally she's like, I'm sorry for the miscommunication, but we do have you as an F-boy. And then he kind of disappears. Israel and Devij make their way to Limbro, where Peter finally gets someone to hang out with aside from Coconuts. And Charlie, God knows what happened to Charlie. And this brings us to the end of the episode. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with episode 3.
Can you keep up? I like love it.
If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all like weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, there's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
Allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
And we're back, and we get the answer to the question, where is Charlie? It seems that he's taken a mental health break overnight, and in the light of day, he has finally agreed to enter Limbro. And they're like, okay, we get one more resident. And Charlie's like,
he's trying to do, like,
I accept it.
He's doing one of those pleas where you're like, I'm going to accept the guilty plea, but without admitting the guilty plea, you know, where you're like, I accept.
Right, where
I'm not
you like cut a deal.
I'm cutting a deal.
No, little contender,
I'm not going
right,
to
whatever.
Admit that I am an F boy, but I will like accept the terms. And so.
Right. Because, you know, they're like, Charlie, people are going to see you on TV. No, I cannot do it. It's too hard. You'll get to sleep on cardboard and jerk off with some other semi-hot people. I mean, okay.
Yeah, sure. So the group activity this week is going to be romantic photography. Once again, the women are picking guys like they're softball teams. And then before the photography begins, Nikki introduces fresh meat, three new guys. Now, I'm thinking doing the math, like they're going to be introducing the number of F-boys and nice guys that were eliminated this week. But maybe I'm just trying to be too strategic here.
That, you know what? That was something that was plaguing me, which is that if they have 12 nice guys and 12 fuckboys, and like, what if they get rid of all 12 of one category, assuming that someone can do some basic math on this show? Like, at some point, it might become pretty obvious that there's no more left of a certain category, probably nice guys. So I guess that's why they have to bring people in to keep the numbers sort of in question.
Yeah, they're going to have to iterate a little bit to keep the mystery going. So the new guys are Welcome, New Jared, and Jomar.
I like really needed a backstory on why Welcome is named Welcome. I have so many questions.
I feel like I was almost like, did they rename him so that Nikki could have the line that was like, please welcome. Like,
he was left on a doorstep at some point, and whoever picked him up just saw the welcome mat, was like, welcome. Oh. And they were like, okay, we'll write it down on the certificate.
They divide them between the teams and do photo shoots, which, like, whatever, the other men heckle.
Yeah, we do not glean anything.
Nothing.
They continue to be ripped is what we learned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the one thing that does happen on this date is that a beef develops. Because after his shoot, the guy who comes to be known as OG Jared sits down next to new Jared. And in this tiny little gap, and he's like, move over. New Jared doesn't really move. And he kind of like elbows him and is like, move over, bro. And Jared's like, say, excuse me. And OG Jared says, excuse me. And new Jared moves over. And new Jared's like, you ain't gonna tell me to move over, though. You gotta put some respect on it, though. That's fine, though. You know, though? And I was like, okay. This is boring already. Like, this was an immediately boring fight to me.
This is just so straight guys, though, right? It's like, like, bro, straight. I don't mean all straight. I just mean, like, this bro stereotype.
It's
like,
aggressively hetero, it really is.
Yeah, it's like, move over. What? How could you? Hey, man, I just need somewhere to sit. How could you? You better respect my name.
I would like to take a moment to say that I actually really like OG Jared quite a bit. I feel like he actually is a nice guy, or presenting as a nice guy.
He's definitely presenting as more of a nice guy.
He's nice presenting.
Meaning that, like, he's nice presenting, meaning that he probably is a fuckboy in real life, but categorizes himself as nice on this show. I'd like him. He loses points for awkward scarf styling.
Oh, my gosh.
But
we have to talk about like
we need to talk about his outfit
he's wearing that night at the pool party. He is wearing, like, spectacles, a bandana, a decorative scarf, plaid pants, a skin
half
tight
a jacket because he's got a
he's
jacket
got his
on
dark
one
denim
arm,
jacket
remember?
Slung over one shoulder. He's just carrying
it.
It
is
around.
A lot
slung
of
slung in. His arm is through one arm, and then the other part of the jacket is just hanging off his shoulder.
What
so I guess
the
that's the thing now.
Fuck?
This is so much look. It was like he took seven outfits and just combined all of them.
And also, this is the
so
guy
aggressive.
Who tries too hard to not sound dumb. Listen to his description. Fitness coach, social media influencer, brand ambassador, entrepreneur. Okay, we expected those, right? Now, besides his various professions, Jared also has a myriad of hobbies. He loves reading books, writing poetry, playing chess. Okay, just stop.
Yeah,
already. Okay, like figuring out IKEA furniture without the instructions. Come on.
No, that I resent, because that could hurt me ultimately if I sit on your couch and it falls apart. Okay.
But Jared's other thing, OG Jared, is like, I'm really well-spoken, I'm sensitive, I'm open. And he proves this by consistently throughout the night trying to, like, pick a fight with new Jared and then immediately get so upset that he can't finish a sentence. And this happens, I feel like, 5 times. Like, he just keeps being like, I'm going to stay calm, cool, and collected. Say some harsh things that get him worked up. Immediately is like, Sit down, shut up, dickhead. And I was like,
dickhead's a big word in this. Yeah.
He also made the classic mistake of you're starting a fight again when you don't need to, right? Mm-hmm. And then the guy is sitting down, other Jared is sitting down, and he comes and is right over him, pointing right in his face. So
always
who do you think is gonna
good.
Look like an idiot, right? Yeah. Yes, you're gonna look like the asshole no matter what. You played this all wrong, but
he did play it wrong.
A new Jared is also a loudmouth who is like needling him in front of Nakia in really unflattering ways. I was like, you're both playing this very poorly. It's like
they both come off terribly in this fight.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
New Jared is pretty terrible.
Awful. Like, it's just like, I'm going to impress this woman by making like bitchy remarks to this other man really loudly while she's talking with him. Like, that's my strategy. Yeah. I think it's going to go well for me.
Yeah.
But I don't like his toupee either. Let's be honest, guys.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's fair to criticize that because he makes a comment to OG Jared about how his dreads look nappy, which I thought was, this is like kind of ruining Nakia's night. But Sarah is hanging out with Welcome, and her strategy is like, so like, are you an F boy? Like, what's the deal? And he's like, you know, kind of depends. Deep. Depends on whether I like you or not.
My name is Welcome.
Always welcoming every comer.
Yeah.
And Garrett, meanwhile, is like, I don't like that Welcome is making inroads, so I'm going to go steal Sarah away and be performatively vulnerable with her.
He
was like, it was like too convincing. Like, he worked really hard on this little monologue. He sits down and is like, you know, like, I want to know how you feel about me, because, like, I can't believe, like, I wake up and I'm like, this is crazy. I just met this girl. I'm like, you don't really like her. You don't. But, like, I look at myself in the mirror. I'm like, yeah, I do. Like, no, I don't. Like, I do. And I was like, Garrett, you're doing a lot here. Like, this is, like, carefully scripted.
Garrett is a very effective fuckboy.
I hate to admit it, that someone with such a punchable ham face could be a good F boy, but like, he's really
God, is she falling for it? Because
she's definitely falling for it. And she's also the easiest mark.
Yeah.
Like, she's really just the easiest mark. And he is the classic reductress. Like, is he hot or is he just tall and white? Like, that is who Garrett is.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Is he even tall? Like, it's almost like, is he hot or is he just confident and white?
He's confident. He bleached his teeth. Like, he's playing all that stuff, right? You know, it's like he bleaches his teeth. He's like, you know, the guy has like those little toothpick things that you do.
Oh, yeah.
Home, guys, dental
he's
care.
He's giving her attention.
He's a Bitcoin investor.
Oh, no.
He's a Bitcoin investor. Thank you.
No.
I will be quiet over here while I wait to become richer than all of you a-holes.
Listen,
okay?
But you do it as a hobby, okay? This is like, this is him. Like, this is what he's putting forward.
Yeah.
And I think that Sarah just, you know, she responds well to attention. She's basically like a thumb depressor with extensions. And she's just like happy to have someone talking to her, you know?
Yeah. I relate to
depressor,
Sarah.
By the way,
I'm
not
like,
a thumb depressor.
I like thumb depressor. I was like, oh my God, you are not hitchhiking today, sir.
Oh my God. And now Garrett's trying to even work the crowd. Like, he's in his in the moments being like, I came here for the game, but like, it's hard to admit it, I really like her. Like, oh, she's such a good kisser. Yeah. Whatever, Garrett, not falling. You're
don't
full
try
of shit,
story
Garrett.
Line on us. No, we know.
CJ is still into Casey, but she's basically decided that he's an F-boy. She's like, I'd have to treat you like a fixer-upper house. She has to explain the concept.
I loved that. He's like,
too.
Wait, so I'm a rundown house? She's like, yeah.
She's like, yes, exactly. You need a lot of help.
Yeah.
And then she compares him to when you're on a diet and you just want to have a little snack and then you eat it and you're like, I'm so bad. And I was like, CJ, I feel like you've
And you
never
know what?
This.
When she said that, I was so annoyed with her because I just ate an entire Domino's while I was watching this. So when I see this skinny, gorgeous person who's like, oh yeah, remember when I just wanted that pretzel and I had it?
I'm so bad. I had twice as many almonds as usual for my mid-morning snack. Like,
it's very Cher Horowitz being like, I had like 3 peanut M&Ms. I'm such a heifer.
God. I just like that she has to explain the concept of a snack to him. Like, you know when sometimes you're hungry, but you don't want a full meal. He's like, I'm not sure if I follow.
He's like, I only eat like steamed chicken breasts and spinach.
I eat so much pizza every day at the pizzeria, you know?
So they're moving rapidly toward eliminations. Mickey sort of visits the gals to see how they're feeling. And she asks them, this was a weird little interlude. She's like, when do you usually have sex with a guy? And so they don't really respond before she's like, listen, girls will say, but I want to have sex, but they don't realize that they may get more attached than they expect. And
like, Nikki, let these women live.
Let them live.
Let them fuck. Okay.
Let them live. I think that it would be good for them to have sex with some of these guys, you know, and just start like getting it out of their system if they must. Like, I don't
know. Well, it's like getting a job at the Burlington Coat Factory and then refusing to try on coats. Okay? you have all these coats. Try them on.
Try them on.
But it's not like it's a show about, you know, being like the sweetest, most innocent person ever. Right. No one said that you can't F too. Get in there.
But you
try
know
it
when
out.
You put on the coat and the oxytocin kicks in and you're like, I can't take
you're
off
like,
the
I
coat.
Must have this coat now. I must take it with More me. Attached. I must purchase it.
Or you're having that moment where you're like, this smells weird and so many people have been inside this coat.
Oh, God. It's time for eliminations. Ryan already left because of a medical emergency. No one remembers who he is. They have to show in a montage, highlight him to show.
I appreciated this because I definitely had no idea who Ryan was.
Yeah, no idea. Apparently he was a nice guy. RIP. So eliminations. Nikia picks Kevin. Because he hasn't connected with any of them. And indeed, I had forgotten he was there. Jamie, again, not ready for a relationship. CJ picks Matt because she keeps picking him for her team and he keeps wandering back to Sarah. And I was like, so you want to eliminate him because he is interested in Sarah. Like, he's like genuinely maybe interested in Sarah. Like, okay. Yeah. Sarah seems okay with it. CJ picks Matt and Mark. She picks Mark because she's friend zoning him. In other words, she hates his terrible stand up. Sarah picks Fernando and Chris. And this is where the problem comes up because she says to Chris, like, I'm not sure why you're there. And he says to find a fiance. Wrong show, Chris. Dial it back. And so she eliminates him. They eliminate Jamie, Mark, and Chris. And CJ goes, wait, what? No, I just, we've been talking and we still have a lot we need to cover. It wouldn't be right for him to leave now. Which is so transparent. Like, I'm like, you almost eliminated him last week. Everyone can tell you don't have a romantic connection. Like, do you want people to know he's the mole?
At this point, Jared even says in his, like, in-the-moment interview, he's like, okay, so Chris is the mole. I see what's happening.
Yeah. They all know. Yeah.
Yeah.
But she's determined that he not go. And Sarah's like, okay, whatever. Like, he stays, but I'm not willing to send Fernando home because of this. So CJ has to cut Matthew as well to make the number 3 eliminated. And Sarah's like, okay, like, sure, Matthew's into me, but, you know, I trust CJ. She feels strongly. So, like, in this moment, if I were Sarah, I probably would have been like, what the hell? Like, Matthew actually likes me. And, like,
yeah.
But Sarah's so easygoing. She's like, okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
No, but Sarah also doesn't want a nice guy. She's saying she wants a nice guy, but she's drawn to freaking Garrett. And
she
Matt is like
Garrett.
So blatantly a nice guy because he's like, so I think I should be here because I wanted to make origami cranes for everyone and I didn't get a chance to yet. So, and they're like, like, he's clearly a nice guy.
Yeah.
They are, in fact, all 3 nice guys.
All nice guys.
Yeah, and he's cute, but he's also doing that double hairline thing that the guys are doing where they shave one thing and then there's like the real hair coming out. Like they're trying to look like they're wearing a piece on purpose. It's the weirdest hairstyle, yeah. So he needs to go. But he was in the Army National Guard, which is nice, I guess. And he's not a home construction person. He's a renovation salesman. Oh. So I like him.
See, he would know what a fixer-upper is, and that's valuable. He would. That is true. Partner.
He would take it as a compliment.
What I love about Matt is that he's like, well, now that I'm out, let me share all of the gossip I have on the men who remain. And I was like, Matt, I am living for this. You're my new favorite. I love you. And he's like, yeah. So Garrett just like volunteered to me off camera that he was always messing around with LA hoes back home, wouldn't look at any of these women. Sarah's not ready for a relationship. And also Greg and Garrett both have girlfriends. Goodbye. I'll go to the nice guy grotto now.
Yeah.
See ya. Beans out.
Garrett says it was a 4-month relationship and then we agreed to take a break. And Matt's like, well, are you looking for love on your break or is this just a joke to you? And Sarah's like, listen, I am on Rachel's side. A break is not a breakup. Like they were on a break. Like that's not a breakup. And Nikki's like, what's your ex thinking right now? And Garrett says she's probably hurt. And I was like, what's your story here exactly? You're like, we mutually broke up. It was not serious, but she's definitely very hurt that this is happening.
And also it was a break.
And also not it was a breakup. Break, not a breakup. So what he's basically...
All I heard was 4 months. I've been with someone for 4 months. And I was like, well, that's much longer than I ever expected. So
the most surprising thing is that Garrett has a girlfriend. Like that is my big... I was like, a girlfriend? Like, so you can commit. Great job.
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
yeah,
doesn't mean he was faithful to her, though.
Clearly not. True.
I mean, here's the thing. We all know. So Sarah's like, well, you know, this is definitely a turn off. I'm not going to be interested in it anymore. But what's going to happen is next episode, he's going to sit down with her and say, you know, it was so hard being adopted. I get scared because I don't know, like, what. I get scared of situations that my dad left my mom.
Didn't he say that? Didn't Garrett say that at some point where he said, I'm afraid of abandonment?
Yeah, because he was.
He said something like, that was part of his, that was part of his thing.
So he'll say that this is just I'll say it's part of the trauma of his life and that he knows with the right girl that he can get past it. He's like willing to fix himself for the right girl. He's going to do all that stuff where she'll be like, oh my God, I can't believe he doesn't want to do that.
He's going to pull the whole, I was an F-boy and I just came here for fun and to hang with my bros, but then I met someone like you who's so special. We're going to make it 5 months, baby. Me and you, 5 months.
I think unfortunately, we can all see where this is going.
Yeah.
And that is why they have to leave us on a cliffhanger here.
And that brings us to the end. Any final takeaways about the first 3 episodes of this incredible work of television? We covered a lot.
They had good eliminations. You know, I have to say, they had 2 really noteworthy eliminations. You had that guy, Charlie, who said he was a nice guy, and they're like, no, you're a fuckboy. You had this, like, truth bomb that Matt delivered. That was great. So I've been surprised at how invested I seem to have gotten at some of these cliffhangers.
The eliminations are really good. I was like, they need to introduce more stuff like this into the rose ceremonies, which are stultifying. Like, this is great television.
I mean, my overall thought when I finished the 3rd episode was that I definitely need to concentrate on my MyFitnessPal and push-ups, okay? That was basically what I left away feeling. I was like, I need to work on myself. Okay. Thanks, HBO Max. Thanks, you dicks.
I just was so happy that I didn't look like any of them, to be honest. I was like, nothing about this makes me want to look like the people on my screen. And in a way, I think that's a service.
Yeah, it's that almost like looking at like a foreign universe of like aliens and being like, wow, that's how hot people date. That's so nice and interesting for them.
No, thank you.
I'm so glad I'm on my couch right now.
And also, I have to say, when someone's talented and then someone will give them a compliment saying, wow, they really made it look effortless. These people do not make it look effortless, and I appreciate it. Like, you can see how much work goes into that, and it just looks exhausting. Yeah, I mean, no wonder Peter needed to nap all the time.
I relate to that, quite frankly, and I'm not even hot. So, you know, how do they do it?
Oh, yes, you are. Get out of here. Don't make me come on your podcast and start sexually harassing you and telling you how hot you are.
Thank you guys so much for coming on. This was
so much fun.
Can you tell the people where they can find you? Because I personally am obsessed with your podcast and think all of our listeners should listen to it too.
Thank you. Well, we're at watchwhatcrappens.com. That's easy. All our links are there. On Instagram, we're at watchwhatcrappens. On Twitter, at whatcrappens. I'm at Ronnie Karam with the K. And Ben is at Ben Mantelker, both on Instagram and Twitter.
And that's it for this bonus episode of Love to See It with Emma and Claire. Thanks to our guests, Ben Mantelker and Ronnie Karam. And check out their podcast, Watch What Crappens, anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Love to See It is produced by us, Claire Fallon and Emma Gray, and Stitcher. This podcast was edited by Harry Huggins. Our theme music is by Tamar Habib, and our art is by Celine Chang. Josephine Martirana is our executive producer.
If you like the show, please rate us 5 stars and leave a review. And more importantly, please tell all your friends who used to listen to us as Here to Make Friends. Help us get the word out about our new name.
You can also find us on Twitter at Love to See It Pod and Instagram at Claire and Emma Pod.
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Emma Lady Rose.
And I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
We'll be back soon to recap the second installment of F-Boy Island. Can you keep up? I like
love it. Stitcher.